I'd invite you to take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. We have titled this Sunday Christian Heritage Sunday, and I'd just like to spend a few moments this morning and also this evening. This is a two-part sermonette, and just share some thoughts concerning our Christian heritage. There are some that would say that Australia does not have a Christian heritage. And then there are those that would say, if we did, there wasn't much. Both of those thoughts are false. And I'd like to spend a few moments this morning and also this evening sharing with you the fact that Australia does have a Christian heritage. Here in Proverbs chapter 14, please, note then verse number 34. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34. The Bible reads, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege of worship. We ask and pray now that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond to your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Australia does have a Christian heritage. The Bible teaches us that righteousness exalteth a nation. And this nation has been exalted. And God has blessed our nation in many ways. And I have no doubt in my mind, the reason being is because of our Christian heritage. We need to be educated and we need to be reminded of our heritage as a nation. If we're going to advance spiritually with Christ, with Jesus Christ, our head and cornerstone, we build our nation's might. And beloved, we as the people of God need to be mindful that we do have a Christian heritage. And it's righteousness that does exalt a nation. If you just consider our Australian flag, it reflects our nation's location with the Southern Cross. It reflects the land divisions of our nation with the seven-pointed Commonwealth Star, the six states and one star representing the territories. And of course, the Union Jack, which is the national flag of the United Kingdom, reflecting our Christian heritage, our roots, which are Christian. God's hand of providence has been over our nation. God's hand of providence has been over the nation of Australia from the beginning of its history. An explorer by the name of Fernandes de Quiros in the 1600s, he was a Portuguese explorer. Back in the 1600s, the Spanish, the Dutch and the Portuguese hovered around this continent of Australia. Fernandes de Quiros bombarded the Pope with letters about Australia and its millions of innocent heathen souls ripe for salvation. Thank God the Pope ignored his letters. Our country was colonized by another Christian nation in Great Britain. It could have been colonized by Catholics, by Hindus, by Buddhists, and even Muslims. Governor Philip said, "How grand is the prospect which lies before this youthful nation." Australia Day, 26th of January, 1788, Governor Philip raised the Union Jack and declared British sovereignty over the whole eastern half of the Australian continent. Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, it reads, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God our Father." Governor Philip believed that God had great, that there was great prospect within this nation. How little he understood and knew that God had great plans for our nation. William Carey, who is the father of modern missions, who went to India back in the 1700s, he said that the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And God is to be glorified, what he has done in this great land of Australia in such a short period of time. On Loftus Street there in the city, which is the corner street of where Customs House is, it would do you well to take note of a flag monument there, which apparently is basically the location of where that ceremony took place, where Governor Philip raised the Union Jack and declared British sovereignty over the nation of Australia. And there lies a monument in that honour within our city streets. The providence of God over Australia. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Verse number 11. Just like the hand of God was on the life of the Apostle Paul in leading him to preach the gospel in Rome, God's hand was on the life of a Christian by the name of Richard Johnson to preach the gospel in Australia. Note there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, we are reminded of the fact that God works with purpose. God is not aimless. God doesn't just randomly act. He works with purpose. We serve a God of order. And the God of providence is over our nation. Note here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, the Bible reads, "Whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." To what end? Verse 12, "That we should be to the praise of his glory," that God might receive the glory. Whatever God allows and does, it's ultimately for the glory of God who first trusted in Christ. So in other words, as we understand and as we note the providence of God over our nation, it should cause us to look heavenward and praise our God, that our God is a great God and God is purposeful and God wants to glorify his own name. And God will do it in and through his creation. Richard Johnson was the first Christian preacher in Australia. Among the first fleet, there were some 736 prisoners, convicts, 1788. And amongst the midst of these vile sinners, by the way, three quarters of them were men, and one quarter were women, God sent a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:9, the Bible reads, Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Richard Johnson served our nation for some 12 years, from 1788 to 1800. He said, "It is my duty to preach to all, to pray for all, to admonish everyone." His first sermon was preached from Psalm 116, verse 12. Let's turn to 116 of the Psalms. Psalm 116, verse number 12, please. Psalm 116, verse number 12. Richard Johnson preached the first sermon on Australian soil from this text, a text that reflects hope. "What shall I render unto the Lord," verse 12, "for all his benefits toward me?" The governor, Governor Arthur Phillip, ordered everybody to be present for this first service. And there were over 1,000 people at that service on the 3rd of February 1788. In fact, next Sunday we will celebrate once again the anniversary of that first Christian service. It took place in the open air under a tree, and many believed it is where St. James Church on Macquarie Street stands today. That's where that first service took place. And this was the man of God that was willing to come and to preach the Word of God. Now, what do we know about Richard Johnson? Well, he made this very famous statement there: "I am sick of my situation, for never surely was a man or minister more exercised and tried with the wicked and ungodly ways of sinners. And few, I believe, have met with more or greater trials in worldly matters concerning my situation and office. But after all, I assure you that I have no immediate intentions of returning to Europe. I am persuaded that I am where God aims and intends me to be." God called this man of God to be a preacher of the gospel to sinners, predominantly vile sinners, wicked sinners. And though it was very difficult for him, he said, "I am where God has me." And this man of God served our God faithfully for 12 years. In fact, the new inhabitants of Sydney Cove were grateful for his work. In 1790, a convict wrote home and said, "I believe few of the sick would recover if it was not for the kindness of the Reverend Mr. Johnson, whose assistance out of his own stores makes him the physician both of soul and body." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible reads, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." And Richard Johnson was a living example of that very fact. But how was Richard Johnson officially selected to be the first preacher to Australia? It's within this we see once again the providence of God. It's the providence of God that this fleet of over 700 convicts, that God in his providence sent a preacher in their midst. And it's the providence of God how this man was selected to be the preacher, a gospel preacher, a gospel preacher to be the founding preacher of the gospel within this nation of Australia. And John Newton had a lot to do with it. And it's important that we understand this very fact. John Newton approached Johnson in England on the 23rd of September, 1786, with the visionary proposal to be the captain and missionary on the first fleet to the land down under. John Newton is well known for the hymn Amazing Grace, my favourite hymn. And I've commissioned my wife, when God takes me home, make sure you sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And John Newton was a wretch. He was a slave trader. God had miraculously saved this man of God. And he went on to write that famous hymn, probably the most famous hymn to this very day, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And John Newton was concerned about the wretched. And he personally approached Richard Johnson and said, I believe you ought to be God's man, being the first chaplain on that first fleet. On the 15th of November 1786, John Newton wrote to Wilberforce, a dedicated Christian man, a man that had great influence. To you, he said, as the instrument, we owe the pleasing prospect of an opening for the propagation of the gospel in the southern hemisphere. Who can tell what important consequences may depend on Mr. Johnson's going to New Holland? Who would be the best man for the job? Who would choose him? John Newton knew that such an appointment was a very difficult one. He made this very famous quote, a minister who should go to Botany Bay without a call from the Lord and without receiving from him an apostolic spirit, the spirit of a missionary, enabling him to forsake all, to give up all, to put himself into the Lord's hands, to sink or swim, had better run his head against a stone wall. Profound statement by John Newton. In other words, he said, you'd have to be absolutely crazy unless you had the call of God upon you to take on this responsibility of ministering to these wretched sinners. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And Richard Johnson understood the value of that wonderful promise that God enables whom he calls. And John Newton said that in principle, that if God calls you, God will enable. William Wilberforce, an English politician who led, as you probably well know, a movement to stop the slave trade, was a very devoted Christian. And he was a very close friend to the newly elected British Prime Minister, William Pitt. Wilberforce and John Newton were good friends. They were spiritual men. They loved the gospel. Wilberforce and Newton were instrumental in supporting Richard Johnson in his new appointment as the chaplain for the new colony. They suggested to Prime Minister Pitt that this 31-year-old man by the name of Richard Johnson from Yorkshire is where Captain Cook was from, be the man for the job. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Are you still with me this morning? I trust you are. This is about our heritage as Christians within this nation. Please take note. Note here in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So God worked in the heart of Newton to recommend Johnson. He knew that Johnson was a gospel preacher, and John Newton was a gospel preacher. John Newton knew Wilberforce, who was a committed Christian, that was also strong on the gospel. And Wilberforce and Newton ganged up and they said, Richard Johnson's the man. And Wilberforce had the unique opportunity to recommend to the Prime Minister, Mr. Pitt, that this is the man that we need to be our first preacher. It's important that we understand that Australian Christianity begins with Richard Johnson, the chaplain of the very first fleet to reach our shores. He'd been hand-selected for the task by William Wilberforce and his associates, and immediately got to work preaching the gospel, carrying out his duties. And John Newton wrote this poem in 1787 to encourage him. The Lord who sends thee hence will be thine aid. In vain at thee the lion danger roars. His arm and love shall keep thee undismayed. On tempest-tossed seas and savage shores, go, bear the Saviour's name to lands unknown. Tell the southern world his wondrous grace. An energy divine thy words shall own and draw their untaught hearts to seek his face. Many in quest of gold or empty fame would compass earth or venture near the poles. But how much nobler thy reward and aim to spread his praise and win immortal souls. What a wonderful poem written in dedication to Richard Johnson. Now, what was the background to this new colony here in Australia? Well, King George III, George Street was named after this man, just in case you didn't realise that. Because of great poverty and unemployment, England's crime rate was at an epidemic level. Many were being hung for their crimes. And this led to disputes, riots, and where to bury all these bodies. The king, that is King George III, declared a royal mercy on this means of dealing with criminals. The less rope used, the more jails needed. Yet there was a shortage of jails at that time. With more prisoners than jails, they were in search of somewhere to send what was known as the Crown's offal. The cry was, where do we send these unwanted prisoners? There was not enough jails for so many prisoners. So many of these prisoners were kept in what they called prison hulks, moored off the English south coast of the River Thames. Many died of starvation, overcrowding. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. And it certainly is.